everyone. Jenna Camera, Adam Kaplan. Great to be here from the studio on this Football Friday. Well, if it is, I don't know. It's certainly a snow to be Friday. Xfinity Studio only from Comcast. Great to be with you. Hope that you are in the process of beginning to get hunkered down. Hopefully get to where you need to get to tonight and just settle in. Settle in for the next couple of days. It should be interesting. These snowstorms are always memorable. Of course, we got some football games coming up on Sunday, but a lot of Eagles football to talk this weekend. And usually Adam and I on Friday nights out on the road at the Rally House, but tonight in studio. And Adam, great to see you. And a lot of Eagles stuff to get to tonight.
A lot of Eagles stuff. We'll get over to the coaching changes. And I know I've been asked ad nauseum today, Joe, about certain positions and whether I like them or not, about the D-line coach. I'll delve into it. I'll give it out. We'll get into that. But I will tell you, it is also championship weekend around the National Football League. This is an exciting time.
It's great games. I'm worried we might not see them.
Well, here's the thing.
There's got to be at least a 15-20% chance the electricity knocks us all out from watching those games.
If the forecasters get it right, it's going to be from early evening tonight to an 8 and 10, and it's going to snow all day tomorrow through the evening, and possibly early Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And then I have to fly out to the Senior Bowl on Monday morning. So I have a generator. My wife and I have a generator at our house. So let's just hope it handles it, you know. But this is an important time in Eagles football because we have a new direction.
What do you make of where it's at? What do you think? I mean,
I heard you talking about that with your listeners.
The dust kind of settled a little bit now. We sit here now. The rest of the offseason, the real offseason now sort of starts. What do you make of how the dust settled?
I think let's put it this way. When I heard 2 weeks ago, Doug Peterson was probably the leading candidate before they got done the search.
Yep.
Like most callers, listeners, and a lot of people at the station, I was pretty ho-hum. I'm like, come on, you got to do better than that. I mean, this is the guy who's going to replace Chip Kelly, but I didn't know a lot about Doug Peterson, so I need to do a ton of research, which I did. Talked to the Chiefs. In fact, I talked to the Chiefs. I was at the East-West Shrine Game practices. I talked to the Chiefs there. People have worked with Doug. People know Doug. And I asked him, I looked one guy straight in the eye. I said, remove your relationship. I don't care about that. What do you think of this guy? One guy looked at me and he said, the most surprising thing about Doug Peterson was and how direct he was. This season, Andy put more on him, gave more responsibility, and he rose to the occasion. But my response to that was, okay, he managed 40 people. Now it's over 100 people. 105 to 110 people. That's a lot. 90-man roster offseason. Coaching staff, which is 15, which could expand a little bit if needed. It's a lot of people. Plus, he's got to deal with the front office. The responsibilities of a head coach. Most head coaches have no idea.
The media, the fans. That's a whole lot.
They got to deal with the business, business people. As much as Chip didn't want to do it, you got to deal with that. You work for the same company. So it's a big challenge. It's a major challenge. But the one thing he did was really smart. And I wasn't sure he could pull it off. He hired mostly a veteran staff, and we'll get into that in a minute. He got some guys to come here, which I didn't think they'd come here just because they had other opportunities, and to be able to get a veteran staff together, mostly all of them have a lot of experience, except for Greg Lewis, who hasn't really coached the receiver position for very long. But all in all, I think Doug Peterson did a good job. Now, how good of a coach is he going to be? No one knows. No one knows because he's never been a head coach before. He's only been really coaching for 6 or 7 years. So, and that starts at the high school level. So you're concerned about that lack of experience, but getting experienced coaches to go along with him. Frank Reich, who's been an offensive coordinator, like Doug, a journeyman backup quarterback, a very smart guy who should not have been fired by the Chargers, by the way. That was stupid. He was sort of the scapegoat for all the problems that the Chargers had. Getting John DeFilippo, whose father, Gene, was the athletic director for Villanova and Boston College. I'm going to give you a quick story. People are not going to believe this story. Back, I guess, in the late 90s, Chip Kelly recruited John DeFilippo to New Hampshire to be their quarterback. DeFilippo turns him down. Goes to James Madison. 2005, the New York Giants offer Chip Kelly, the offensive quality control coach. He turns it down. Who gets the job? John DeFilippo. Let's go fast forward 10 years. John DeFilippo, Chip Kelly, both interviewed for the 49ers head coaching job. It goes to Chip Kelly. It's a crazy story.
Wow.
So there's sort of a connection here. Yep. Of course, DeFilippo did live in Philly, from what I understand, for 5 years. So overall, I think Pearson's done a real nice job of getting a good roster of coaches together. There are a little bit of concerns, as I said, with Greg Lewis. He just didn't have a lot of experience coaching the position.
Where did that come from? Greg was here.
They have a relationship.
What's the deal?
Well, Greg also was a receivers coach for University of Pittsburgh, so he has been the guy, but he hasn't done it for very long. Now, with the former staff, this is what someone very plugged into Chip's offense and what went on here. Bob Bicknell Jr. is not a bad coach. What happened there was Chip is all about speed and not technique, and I think that got away from them last season. They were so focused on the next play instead of secure the ball, get your feet down, then go back to the huddle. That's not what Chip was about. Chip was go, go, go. There is no huddle. Go, go. And you would see it. These guys are just thinking ahead. Teddy Bruschi told me the same thing 2 months ago. My colleague at ESPN, that's exactly what happened in my mind. I'm talking to people who are very plugged into the situation. So Greg Lewis has got a big job here because we know how many high-round picks they've spent.
Well, and he's got to work with Nelson. Yeah. I mean, no one's more important there than Nelson Aguilar.
Got to develop him, yes.
At least, you know, Jordan Matthews is solid, no doubt about it. Quality NFL player. How good he'll be, to be determined. But he's solid. Huff, frankly, I don't have great hope for. But Aguilar is really important. And when you have a first-round talent to work with and it's the second year, he didn't do much in year one, that's really, really important to develop that guy, Adam.
It is. There's no question about it. And it's going to be important when you look at the D-line coach. Who's going to be, drum roll, do we have a drum roll? Drum roll. Most likely it's going to be Roy Segrest. Roy Segrest was a guy who was fired by Andy Reid. He was a D-line coach in 2009, 2010. Did a good job, didn't do a bad job, but they, for some reason, he moved him to special teams, and it didn't work at all. And Roy wound up being fired, but it's expected to be. I don't know that he's signed his contract yet, but what I've heard for the last 4 or 5 days is that it's probably going to be Roy Segrest. Now, Segrest is one of the better D-line coaches in college football. He's at University of Arkansas. When the Eagles got him, he was at Samford. He actually did a good job. The issue is, though, is he got fired. Well, so was Sean McDermott was fired. He's turned out to be a damn good defensive coordinator. So I know it's a little bit odd. So if this happens as I expect it to happen, here's the other thing. Is he understands the nine technique. Let's get into that. I know people were groaning about Jim Schwartz coming in because of the wide nine. Folks, all that is a defensive front. That's not a scheme. But what it does do, as you know, because you and I have talked about it in the past, you've got to play zone behind it. The D coordinator at that time, Juan Castillo, had no idea how to deal with it. None. It's like, how do you bring in Jim Washburn with a first-time D coordinator in Juan Castillo? He would have no idea. Juan Castillo had no idea.
And let's remember, you know, I have a lot of respect for, I think Andy Reid accomplished a lot. And generally speaking, I think he, while he had enormous faults, and I certainly pointed them out, I think, you know, some of the good things he did got shortchanged, but it really did get weird at the end. For instance, if my memory serves correct, he hired Washburn before he hired Juan Castillo.
Exactly.
So it's like, you know.
Not smart.
You're putting yourself in a position to fail just with that maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are, Adam, at this point, right now, and they have a coach, and they have a coaching staff, and yet the front office now remains in flux. I mean, what light can you shed, and what perspective do you have on the way this front office is unformed, but being formed, but Lurie doesn't want to talk about it,
I'll shed some light. Okay,
I find that a little weird. Like, what's going on there?
Yeah, I do. I do. I thought that was the one part, although I thought Jeffrey was being refreshingly honest. And I understand what he meant by not coming out and saying what control the personnel director will have. It's basically going to be similar to the job that Ed Manowitz had, but Manowitz had no control. This is a guess. I'm not, for people who are blogging or trying to, you know, I do appreciate people out there quoting me. But make sure you get this right if you're quoting me. I'm not so sure that they won't. Well, here's the problem, Joe. I have to chase these people through private message on Twitter. Every week it happens. And I do appreciate
it. You get misquoted?
Yeah, it's crazy.
You get misquoted?
Yeah, it's crazy. But here's what happens.
By the way, real quick.
Yeah.
What Philadelphia athlete said he got misquoted in his own autobiography?
Charles Barkley.
That's correct.
And I read his book, too. It was good.
It was pretty good. All right.
I actually said that to Charles one year.
All right, go ahead.
But I think that they might be willing to give some control to the new personnel director, but until you sit down with this guy and you hear what he's thinking And what and looking what the Eagles want, I think they might be willing to do something like that. Not full control, but partial.
What does that mean? What does partial control
mean? Okay, let's break down what control means.
It's driving me nuts.
Right now, the offseason roster is a 90-man. The 90-man roster includes free agency and the draft.
All the players.
Everything.
Any player that makes the roster. Yeah.
Everything until the final roster is set. The trend now in the National Football League is you give the general manager the 90-man, which Howie Roseman had, for instance. Jason Light has it with the Bucs. Now he's all control because they fired Lovie Smith. And then you give the head coach the 53. As Joe Banner said on Twitter, he's so right. It's so rare. It's so rare that the 53-man roster control means anything, because this is where Jeffrey Lurie is correct. You need a collaboration. You want the head coach to have that control because you want him to be able to pick the players that he's got to coach when you have the final roster for the season. Where it becomes a problem, and this is where collaboration comes in, is in the draft process where you can't agree. That becomes a problem.
Yeah.
That becomes a real problem. And here's the problem, though. Let me finish with this. What Jeffrey Lurie is trying to do is force collaboration, because it clearly did not work with the previous regime, where Chip felt he had to have control because he didn't trust Roseman. Now you have to be in a situation where you've got to get everyone working together. I get it, Joe, what Jeffrey's trying to do, but you can't force this. What Jeffrey's got to do when he has these people or the person who's going to get this job in for meetings, he's got to know that not only will this guy want to work with Roseman, that they're going to form a partnership. You have to have a partnership with collaboration. You can't be forced to work with someone. You have to actually want to do it. And Jeffrey's got to see this. You know, most NFL owners know very little about football, but Jeffrey's a smart guy who's now in year 22 of owning this football team. If he's learned one thing, you've got to work together, not separately. The clunky division that he had with Roseman and Chip Kelly was really foolish. It didn't work. It would never work. I just shook my head a year ago. You and I were together. I knew it wouldn't work, and it didn't. And this is where Jeffrey failed. You can't force anything. You better know that these guys can work together. And if you're not totally sure, don't do it. But here's the problem. We're 3.5 months before the draft here. Less than 3.5 months. Time is wasting now. You don't ever want to have to do this in January. This is not the time to do it. You do it in May. But Jeffrey did what he did, and now he's got to get it right, because we're right now here with the Eagles front office, they're at a crisis. It's an absolute crisis right now. They got to get it right. It's a disarray. The front office is a disarray.
And I kind of get that impression, but why do you say crisis?
Where's the leadership?
Well, okay, let's take a step back. Let me answer your question. I mean, I don't have the answer, but let's talk this through. What's the vision?
What's the identity?
See, that to me, that's the part that I found. Mm-hmm. And I thought Lurie generally did a good job.
He did.
The press conference.
I appreciate his honesty. Yeah. I really
but,
do.
But yeah. Here's the thing I didn't like about how he presented that element, that front office thing. He's basically putting it out there. He doesn't want to tip off what the structure is going to be. Essentially, I don't think he used the exact words, but he's basically
strategy.
Competitive advantage, yeah, by not tipping it off. Whatever. All right. Uh-huh. I don't really buy it, but if you want to say that, say what you want.
Well, but here's the problem. It's so late in the ballgame here. He's not competing for the Browns are trying to do the same thing. That's about it.
All right. Here's the deal. You're bringing someone in to essentially be in one of three roles. Above Howie Roseman, below Howie Roseman, or holding hands with Howie Roseman as an equal. Huh. I mean, right, it's either above, below, or equal. That's the bottom line.
Sure.
What do you want it to be? You have to start with that. I mean, I really wonder, Adam.
Now, where the identity comes
see,
in.
See, here's what I wonder. Is he actually leaving it open? Because maybe in theory, he's open to any of the three, but he doesn't know which one he'll be able to actually land. And so he's just leaving it open-ended because, he's waiting to see who he can get. Here's what I would say, though. Mm-hmm. If you think you need somebody above Howie Roseman, then you better get someone above
that. That would basically be a general manager. Now, not all general managers have the 90-man and the 53. For instance, people have to talk about this control thing. But you can't bring someone in. This guy's going to be a director of football operations, something like that.
But I don't care.
Whatever you want to call it. Whatever name you want to call it.
Forget all that. I just want to know who's in charge.
Right. I know. And that's that. And kudos. And as much as I criticize our local media here for not asking the right questions, boy, do they put the owner under duress. And also when Roseman had his, when Howie had his little impromptu media gathering, which I don't know if it was supposed to be that. And I appreciate the questions by our media. They asked the right questions and you nailed it. Clarity needs to come here and Jeffrey's got to stop with it. He just come out and say what you want. And we'll all be the judge. Once this is done, once they hire this person, she should be hired within 2 weeks.
Do you think he doesn't know?
Know what?
What he ultimately wants it to be or that it will be? Do you think he wants
forced collaboration here. He wants to make sure because everything he's tried has not worked.
But here's the thing that's so ridiculous. Okay. There's nobody in sports that doesn't work with a degree of collaboration. That's why I'm getting tired of this word. Even Chip Kelly had a degree of collaboration. He may have involved less people and less influence from them, but there's still collaboration. Chip Kelly did not run every single element of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Because he didn't have
time. There's always collaboration.
Yep.
So when Jeffrey Lurie talks about collaboration, it's not like he's inventing something that doesn't exist. There's always collaboration. However, at the end of the day, if one guy wants a defensive lineman and one guy wants an offensive lineman, someone's got to get picked, and you can't take them both. Who's
turned
that
the card in?
Decision?
Right? Sure, sure. But Jeffrey won't do that until they've hired the guy, and then they're actually gonna say, okay, it'll be Roseman with this, and it'll be the new personnel director with that. That's fine. But the problem is, have a consensus is one thing. I'm going to give you a quick story. Bill Polian, I had a long talk with Bill about this. We worked together last week because I actually asked him in reference to this. He told me something interesting. When he had Tony Dungy as his head coach, not only would no player be signed or acquired without Tony Dungy being consulted, and Bill had full control, 53-90, he basically would just defer to Coach Dungy. What are you thinking here? And of all people, Bill Polian, who's Mr. Pound the Desk, this is what we're doing, he always deferred to his head coach. So, yes, Jeffrey's right. They need to have collaboration. But you still need to know, as you said, and our media has clearly made it obvious here, we need to know who is going to make the call. Who's turning the card in? That's a phrase that scouts use. Who's going to make that call? We need to know that. And as Jeffrey said, it's all about accountability now, which should have been the case years ago. That's where the accountability comes in. And we're going to know that once they hire this guy. Because trust me, it'll get out. I'll get the story. Someone else will get it. We're going to know who's going to have control. There's zero chance it doesn't get out. It'll be the most important thing I have on my plate that week. Because I'm going to find out within 24 hours who has that control. And we're going to get it out. Then we're going to discuss it on your show. And everyone's going to know. And then all of our listeners and your listeners will know this is who we're going to hold accountable. And I think you have to hold the owner accountable here. Jeffrey's failed in a big way in recent years without knowing what's been going on inside his building. I talked about this a year ago, that exact phrase. You've got to know your people. And you have to know exactly what's going on. You have to have better relationships. His lack of a relationship with Chip Kelly was a big problem.
Adam, I've heard people reference that he doesn't know what he doesn't know.
Fair. Absolutely fair.
That on point?
Yeah.
Speaking of Lurie.
And I'm not making excuses for Jeffrey. Most owners don't. They don't know football. They weren't raised in the game.
But this is about people. Yeah. This is about putting people in a position to succeed and managing people. Like, for instance, Pat Croce had an all-time challenge with an all-time tough superstar athlete and an all-time tough superstar coach. Not easy to have Allen Iverson and Larry Brown, you know, together. Not easy. And it had its ups and its downs and its ups and round and round and round it went. But while Pat Croce was here, that thing stayed on track. That thing went off track after Pat Croce was, you know, shown the door of Comcast.
And Brad Greenberg and I believe John Lucas, if I'm not mistaken. Was it John Lucas?
Well, no, the first year was
Brad Greenberg and someone else.
Johnny Davis,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
But I mean, once he got Brown in place, hey, that's not easy. But Pat Croce understood his number one job was to manage the relationship between his superstar player and his superstar coach.
He was the president.
That was his job.
Right.
I mean, all the other stuff was other stuff. Putting people in the seats, complimentary players, and it all matters. But there was nothing that mattered more than, I got a great coach, I got a great player, I need these guys to work together. Yeah. And I feel like Lurie has essentially, in many ways, oftentimes, failed at the management of his top, most important people in the franchise.
You don't wonder why? the team president, and I'm not taking anything away from Don Spolinski. Don's a business guy. He's not involved with football operations. That's not his fault. Had Joe Banner still been here as a team president, Joe would have managed these situations. They don't have that. I had not even thought about that until you brought it up. It's a great point. There's no middleman here. It's everyone else and then the owner. You don't have the middle person to manage these people. It's a fantastic point.
So Smolinski doesn't really serve that role?
No. Don's a business guy.
Just business.
He's great at what he does. But he, in fact, if you remember, the times that he's spoken publicly, he's made that clear. That's he knows what he doesn't know, and he stays out of it to his credit. But Jeffrey has not replaced Banner in football operations. And that becomes a problem, as you just said, and it's you said it really well. If your football people have a problem, who's going to be the middleman? There is no middleman. There's no one to solve it. It falls on you, the owner, who's really, he's not sitting in football meetings. It's not his job.
And we don't want a Harold Katz here. I mean, no one's looking for that again.
Harold General Manager Katz.
You know
we don't
saying,
want him.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, I appreciate the fact that Lurie generally stays out, but you need someone to manage people.
So it's funny, the way you're bringing it up to me, it sounds like they need a football czar to oversee, who doesn't need to have control, needs to manage everybody. Never even thought of that.
All right, let's go to the phone. 610-632-0975. Take your phone calls tonight. Adam Kaplan and I here. Till 7 o'clock. At 7, we've got a Sixers and 60 show. Devon Givens and I hosting some Sixers coverage. And we'll roll on. Let's go to the phones with John on his cell phone. It kicks us off. John, what's going on, man? You're on the Fanatic.
Hey, guys. How's it going? As a non-Eagles fan living in the area, I think
God bless
bring
you.
A kind of a unique perspective. But I just have to completely agree with Adam. I mean, if I had to describe the situation, it would be crisis, especially in terms of leadership in regards to how this is all played out. I mean, regardless of why Jeffrey, Lurie did what he did in firing Chipman, regardless of what was a knee-jerk reaction or whatever it may be, he fired him, and they had this great one-week head start on many teams that they seemingly completely blew because they ended up with the guy that they can sugarcoat it all they want. It wasn't who they really wanted, and they needed to essentially save face, for lack of a better way of saying it. And then not only that, but, okay, you have your coach, but, you keep Howie, and everybody thinks he's the GM now, but he's clearly not. So you still don't have a GM. What is Howie doing? I mean, nothing screams about it. I mean, if I'm a free agent, at least right now, am I looking at the Eagles thinking I want to? I mean, I know money is money, but
yeah.
Do I want to go there when they don't have a? They essentially need a Bill Parcells to come in and.
That was my point. Yep, that was my point about having it. You make a great point. That was my point, Sean. It was just that you need an overseer right now badly to not only keep the peace, it's someone who really knows football and understands that the way things have been done here is wrong. You can't manage a football operation like this. And a little bit to Jeffrey's point, you have to have collaboration. Guys who want to work together, not against each other. And you need to have football people in there. You can't, it just, when you don't have football people involved, it's a real problem. It's a real problem because there's no middle ground here. And Jeffrey's got a real problem on his hands here. And I hope.
Does he know that?
I don't. The problem, the reason why I don't know, because I don't, as you said, I don't know what Jeffrey doesn't know and knows. Does he understand? Like, he understood a year ago when he sat down with Chip. Let me give an example. The way that I understand it, Chip had put a file together on all the problems with football operations and his issues with Howie Roseman.
This is after year two.
This is the Armageddon that happened last year.
Last year, right around this time.
This is what I understand. He had a big sheet. I don't know if it's 5 pages. I don't know if it's 40 points, whatever. He had a lot of issues, and Jeffrey knew.
Including issues with Roseman, you said?
Yeah, it was a lot. It was just all the problems. And Jeffrey knew as he was hearing this and whatever. I don't know. Being that I was not in the meeting, I don't know exactly what the visual was. But the way it's explained to me, Jeffrey knew probably like halfway through the meeting, this will not work going forward because Roseman already fired Tom Gamble. Tom Gamble's out of the picture. Now the middleman is out. Now it's Roseman versus Kelly. And to go forward here, because Chip was so, he just outlined all these problems, he was going to have to take control himself. And that's when Jeffrey, some months later, went on the record said that it seems like Chip needs a football guy in there, and that football guy would be Ed Manowitz. So going forward here, this needs to be a football operation. This needs to be a real NFL football operation, which it is not right now. And Jeffrey, as to your question, needs to understand that and accept it. And it's not acceptable the way things have been done the last couple of years. Jeffrey got on this too late. He had zero idea what was going on last in 2014. That's why after the season and that Giants game, when he was asked by the media, hey, is Howie Roseman still your general manager? He was insulted by the question. 4 days later, he wasn't his general manager because he didn't know that Chip was going to blindside him like this. Why didn't he know? Because he had a not a good relationship with his head coach, and he clearly did not communicate enough. So to sum this up, Jeffrey, as many people have said, has taken back his building. He ain't done yet. He's got a long way to go here. Because he doesn't have a football czar in the building, someone that could be an overseer, he needs to be in more meetings. He should know after 22 years, he should know enough about football. And he needs to start checking back with relationships. How is this going? Let's take the temperature of this person. He clearly was not doing that. He clearly was not. He should have known about all these problems previously, Joe. And to sum it up, it starts with ownership here. Let's call it like it is. It starts with the owner. Would you agree?
Well, yeah. Look, the way you're laying it out here is fascinating, concerning, very concerning. I mean, that bothers
me. It's
depressing.
Yeah.
You lay out something that's, and by the way, obviously there's many that feel that way and have felt that way for a long time, but you know, we know you're extremely plugged into situations and to hear you articulate it in that way, it's frankly depressing.
You got to understand, I talked to 32 teams. I know the way buildings need to be run. This one is not run the right way. It's not. And from a football operation standpoint. Now, could it get cleaned up rather quickly? Yes, if you get the right people in there. It won't be easy because if this football guy who comes in, if he's not going to have very much control, it's going to limit to the kind of people you could bring in. But I would tell you this. This roster is a lot better than you think because I've run this question by a lot of smart people. This roster underachieved last year under the former head coach. We were all right about that. The roster's not nearly as bad as people thought. But they've just got to get the right people in here.
Let's go to Sean on a cell phone. Sean, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's going on, man?
Hey, I just want to piggyback on the other caller and what you guys are saying. You know, it's common sense that, you know, what we don't know how Doug Peterson's going to be. We all know for sure that he wasn't her first choice. We all know there was a couple people who declined the job. But we all know that.
They claim they didn't offer, but go ahead. Just so you know. For the record. Whether you believe it or not.
Yeah. Let's look at the way this really is. What this team needs, and nothing against Doug Peterson, is this team needs a leader. There was too much bickering last year, people saying stuff in the media, because they didn't have a coach who could step up and protect them. Okay? So they needed a leader that they could go to and that would come in and basically give them hope that they could succeed right off the bat. So they needed the leader and they didn't get it. So we're going to be guessing with Doug Peterson, but I don't know how this regime is going to be, but I think that what the Eagles really need, and like I said, you guys could piggyback on this, they need someone that comes in that the players, you know that they already, you know, either went to the Super Bowl or have been in the playoffs. Someone that could say, well, they did it, so let's follow them.
Look, I don't think there's any question they need better leadership. I think that, yeah, it's a good point. It's pretty well known. Like, they need better leadership at a player level and better leadership at a personnel level. I totally agree. We go to Steve on a cell phone. Steve, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Steve, what up, man? Here's Steve. We'll get you off speakerphone. We'll come back to you. Mike in South Philly. Mike, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, guys. All right, so the problem I have with Jeffrey Lurie is he kind of bit his nose off and spite his face. He wanted to hold Chip accountable and then let him basically destroy the entire team. You know, he sat back knowing that's what he was going to do so he can hold him accountable. And he let him destroy his franchise. Like, what boss or owner does that?
Mike, but let me just say one thing. This is where I don't believe Jeffrey. He gave him control because he thought he needed it to win. That's why he did it. It wasn't about holding him accountable. That was a buzzword. That Jeffrey now, because the media has been on him badly, is starting to say, well, I'm holding this guy accountable. Howie will be accountable, whoever.
You think that's fake tough guy?
It's just like, let's get real here, okay? Let's get real here. Jeffrey had no other choice. A year ago, let me tell you something, there was going to be Armageddon. If Jeffrey didn't do what he did, I'll never back off of what I said last year. I said on SportsCenter before the meeting, something's going to happen in this meeting, and people are like, what? I'm like, I don't know. Something's going to happen because I knew that Chip was going to air his grievances, so to speak. And I didn't know what they would be. And I later found out that he had a lot of grievances with the football operation.
I mean, I understand where he came from. I mean, he wants to win, so he's going to do everything possible to win.
Jeffrey cares. Let me just tell you, I've been very critical tonight.
Oh, I'm not saying he didn't.
Mike, he does care, but sometimes...
The way he did it.
His approach.
The way he said he was going, I was holding him accountable. It's like biting your nose off to spite your face.
Well, no kidding. Everyone should be accountable. You don't even need to say that. You're giving him control because you think he needs it to win. That's why he did it. It wasn't done because you want to hold him accountable.
Let me ask you this.
That's after the fact.
Adam,
it's a nonsensical comment that he made.
You think the clock's ticking on Howie Roseman right now?
It has to be.
Like, not ticking to the point where he's got three years?
I mean, it has to be. But if he doesn't
succeed this year, he could be gone?
Well, here's the way I look at that question, Joe. Who's left?
Of people that have been here.
And, no, he's the last man standing in football operation.
That's it. Of people that have been here, he's it.
Okay. Now Howie Clear as a general manager had some big time hits and misses. But it's not even about that. It's about what's it going to take to get this thing right? If he's going to stay and he's staying for now at least, what's it going to take to get this thing right? You get real football people in there, you work together and let's go win. That's the way you do it.
It does sound like, but let me go back to a concept. You brought up the concept of Smolinski. It does sound like they need a president though that has handle on these kind of things.
No, they need a president of football operations is what they need. This is they've never even talked about this, but this is just you and I talking and our listeners listening and responding if they want to. And you're the one who actually brought this up, and I hadn't even thought about that. They really do need that here. They need someone who's been in the league a long time, an overseer, who doesn't need control but could give wisdom and experience. And it's been, he doesn't have to be 80 years old. He could be 50.
They need Colangelo. They need Andy McPhail. Yes. They need Pat Gill.
Yes.
They need these guys that are...
Badly.
Adults.
Badly.
Adults that have been around the block and seen how it works and know how to run a franchise.
You nailed it. They ought to do that. They need a president of football operations. So all he'll do is oversee, help manage, make sure all the processes are done right. And the big one is obviously that everyone gets along and everyone's got to be put in check. And he will be the one who will report back to the owner. That's what I would do, but... Again, as I said, I don't think this is happening.
Let's go to Steve on a cell. Steve, you're up on the Fanatic.
Hey, I echoed that about 10 days ago to Les Bowen about they needed Colangelo type. And Ernie,
I like it, Steve. I do.
Charlie Casterly. Yeah, I was telling your producer that about 10 days ago, but I couldn't wait for you guys. Now, a lot of things happened with Lurie that aren't filtered down with what a president or a GM would do. For example, you know, Andy Reid, I think, should have been gone in 07 or 08. And Jeff, because he's too loyal, you know, just let it ride. Banner wasn't a football guy. Banner's a money guy. Roseman's a money guy. You need somebody like maybe a Vermeil to come in here to be that go-between to make sure Jeff isn't, like, favoring people and all that. Jeff should just be told, hey, how much... should we pay him, Jeff? Can you do it for us? And that's it. You need that that director in there to mediate things and make sure things are right.
Yeah, you need a chief of staff, basically, is what you're saying. You need a guy to run it for you.
Yeah, and Jeff, you know, I don't want to go on what he was handed in life or whatever, but, hey, I've seen it work on the corporate level, too. I mean, you could start to have factions between the GM and the coach, and they'll do whatever they want to do,
right.
and the owner's just trusting them away. By the way, what happened, who made the picks with the linebacker last year, and who was the other pick?
Jordan Hicks?
Danny, the guard. 2011.
Danny Watkins?
That would be Roseman as a general manager. Now, here's the problem, though. Andy Reid had control in 11, so... But Howie was a general manager.
But hold on. Yeah. Andy Reid had final say.
He did. I said he had control.
So, it's Andy Reid's pick.
Yes.
I mean, if you have final say, you have final say.
He did.
So, it's Andy Reid's pick.
No doubt about it.
Okay.
He turned the card in. Now, Howie Roseman picked Jordan Hicks. That was his pick. He had control.
Well, wait a minute. No, he didn't. Because Chip Kelly made his power play after last season. That's Chip Kelly's pick. Even if others had influence, Chip Kelly, last April into May, because I think that draft straddled both April and May with the three-day process, that's a Chip Kelly draft, right? Has to be. Howie Roseman was put in the closet in January.
Oh, I'm sorry, this draft, yes, you're correct.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, we go to...
That was a great pick.
It was a very good pick.
To this point.
Brian on a cell phone. Brian, you're on the Fanatic.
I was thinking of Marcus Smith for some reason.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
What's up, Brad?
My question is, I think where this whole thing started to fall apart is when Howie fired Tom Gamble. That was Chip's guy, the one guy in the front office that he actually trusted. And if he doesn't do that, I think this actually can still work. But apparently, he, for whatever reason, and I never even got a good answer of why he actually did that. Do you guys even know that answer?
Well, you know, Adam, do you think if that hadn't happened that that the whole domino effect might not have occurred? I mean, would Lurie have made that? Would Chip have made that presentation to Lurie if his guy Gamble had not been fired?
That was a. Oh, here's the thing. By the way, Chip was not aware that Gamble was fired until like it was almost. It had been done. Basically, he just was unable to save him. So, it's hard to answer your question. It's very hard to answer your question. That's a tough deal. But your question, the premise is why did he fire him? These guys had an issue. I mean, it's not a secret. This has been written about and speculated.
Why don't you drop by my office?
Well, he has issues with everyone that question.
It's something, but again, it's like, why do these things happen? And why have these things happened repeatedly over a series of 5 or 6 years? It's, as I said, there's one man who's left standing who does some things well and some things need to be improved upon. And you know, Roseman talked about that. By the way, in that little impromptu press gathering, he didn't deny any of it. Because so that's not true.
What'd you make of what Roseman said?
I didn't even know. I mean, I wasn't even aware of it until someone sent me a link. But I looked at it and I watched it.
What'd you think?
I was a little surprised. He seemed very down and upset. I think he was like downtrodden. I don't want to say defeated. I just think he was like, hey, I got to admit to this. This happened. He didn't deny it. Which is, you could say it's to his credit, but it's not good.
Is he still neutered or is he like no, back?
He wasn't supposed to be talking. I'm not sure. I think Les Bowen stopped him and they talked and it became a big press gathering. So
see, that's where I'm trying to figure out if Howie Roseman's riding back in to run this thing again or not. Lurie not saying that Roseman's his guy is very odd. It's very weird. I'm hiring a guy for director of player personnel whose role will be, well, director of player personnel, but what that means is
we don't know what it's going to be. We don't know.
And that's what makes the Roseman role weird. That's from my vantage point. I look at it from my vantage point. I say this. If you believe in Howie Roseman, you should define what the heck his role is. And if you don't believe in Howie Roseman or believe that his presence creates issues in whom you can attract, that is a problem.
Well, also what's going to happen is, Joe, once they hire this personnel director, I'm assuming that they're going to have to put a press release saying what the roles are going to be. I don't think there's any question, but it has to.
Not another press conference, though, right?
No, they just put a press release.
Yeah.
They'll report to me, and if they're smart, just so you could just end it, just say who's got what control. So no more questions.
They won't, by the way. I almost guarantee you they won't say that.
This is one time I would. Because like I said, if they don't, I'm going to find out.
Well, they're going to tell you. I think they're going to tell you they hold hands and make decision together. I really do.
This is what teams love to do. The word gets out.
Well, and good. But I'm just telling you, I think they're going to do the we hold hands thing. All right, 610-632-0975. Adam Kaplan. Well, I know. I hear you. Adam Kaplan, Joe DeCamera, guys. Want to tell you about the great people, so good at what they do at PI Dental Center in Fort Washington. Are you or someone you know affected by problem teeth? Dr. Balshi and Dr. Wolfinger at PI Dental Center, they are board-certified prosthodontists who have pioneered dental implant treatment, literally changing the lives of thousands of people with cosmetic dental improvements. Patients travel all the way across the country to have the PI team correct their so-called unsolvable, what is believed to be an unsolvable dental problem. But you don't have to travel across the country. They're right here in our backyard in Fort Washington, and it's not so unsolvable once PI Dental takes a look and can create an action plan to get you in better shape. If you or someone you know is embarrassed by their teeth or maybe just experiencing more routine issues that needs care, PI Dental Center, it's the way to go. PI Dental Center with the best staff, incredibly helpful people. They'll go over everything with you, including financial options. Call PI Dental Center today. 215-646-6334. Again, write this number down. 215-646-6334 for the best in the business, PI Dental Center in Fort Washington. Joe DeCamera, Adam Kaplan, we rock all the calls next. Keep it here on The Fanatic.
If you're an accredited investor looking to make more money on better investment deals, you need access, plain and simple. How do you think hedge funds profit from their investments time after time? They have access to the best deals that make them money. Well, now you can get in on the best deals, too, at YieldStreet.com. These investment opportunities available to the big hedge funds and high net worth individuals are now available to you at YieldStreet.com. Thanks to recent legislation called the Jobs Act, YieldStreet.com can connect you to investment opportunities you might otherwise never have access to. That means if you make $200,000 a year or more, now you can see and select from offerings in real estate, hard money lending, litigation finance, and much more. At YieldStreet.com, you can get started for as little as $5,000 with returns targeted at 8 to 20%. So go to YieldStreet.com to get your share of these deals. If you're an accredited investor, go to YIELDStreet.com or call 800-957-9170. That's 800-957-9170 or YieldStreet.com.
Where's my roast beef? That's right, this is Harry Mays, and let me tell you about the roast beef that Philly loves. Nick's Roast Beef on Cottman Avenue. Nick's has been on Cottman since 1969. That's 47 years of delicious food served just right. And now you can get Nick's anywhere with the Nick's Roast Beef food truck. At our studio, they pull the food truck right up to the building. We go down, grab some delicious roast beef and roast pork, get some fresh air. It's awesome. The Nick's Roast Beef food truck is perfect for spring corporate events, customer appreciation days, and house parties. I had the Lima book the food truck last year for my cousin's graduation party. Great time, with a beautiful private banquet hall to host your events and a great restaurant to take the wife and kids out to eat, Nick's is the place to go for all occasions. Located at 2210 Cottman Ave in Northeast Philly, Nick's Roast Beef on Cottman is the place Philly loves. Go to Nick's for the WWE Royal Rumble hosted by Lex Luger on January 24th. Tickets online at www.mattymillevents.com.
This is the sound of your next door neighbor clearing today's snow from his driveway using a powerful Toro snowblower. Lovely, isn't it? And this is the sound of you and your shovel feebly attempting to balance today's snow on its little plastic blade. So feeble sounding. This is the sound of your neighbor's powerful Toro snowblower throwing snow 40 feet and landing on your driveway. Nothing like the sound of raw power, right? And this is the sound of your back cracking from the bone-crushing weight of all that snow. Ouch. So if you'd rather hear this heavenly sound than these sounds, then head to a Toro retailer and get the all-new, easy-to-handle Toro Snowmaster that throws snow up to 40 feet. Go to Toro.com for a retailer near you, and soon you'll hear these sounds. Nice. Toro, count on it.
You can count the horses in an L-certified Lexus, but one thing you won't have to count, the miles. Every L-certified vehicle is backed by an unlimited mileage warranty up to 6 years, a complimentary maintenance plan, and more. Now through February 1st, get special offers on pre-owned models at the L-certified Winter Collection Sales Event, exclusively at your Lexus dealer.
Warranty starts when vehicle sold as new. Maintenance plan covers factory scheduled services for 2 years or 20,000 miles, whichever comes first. See your Lexus dealer for details.
This is Lori Grenier. You've seen me on Shark Tank hearing pitches from small businesses. Now, there's a new way for small businesses to get a loan in minutes. It's called Cabbage. That's Cabbage with a K. Just fill out the application online. You'll get an instant decision and could have access to a line of credit of up to $100,000. No waiting, no hassle. Cabbage is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and is a Forbes top 100 company. Go to Cabbage.com. That's Cabbage with a K. K-A-B-B-A-G-E. Or call 888-CABBAGE.
Hi, I'm Dale, the owner of Two Man and Truck Philadelphia. If you're thinking of moving, you want it done right, let me and my team take the stress out of your move. We are locally owned and operated, and we have a 96% referral rating. That's right, 96%. No matter what the size of your move, we handle all your stuff like it was our own. You've seen our trucks, now it's time to experience the movers who care. Visit twomenandatruck.com to receive your free moving quote. That's twomenandatruck.com, the movers who care.
Right now, get up to $6,000 over Kelley Blue Book fair market value for any trade at Kia of Westchester and Kia of Kentville.
That's free!
amazing! Stylish new 2016 Kia Optimas are only $159 per month. And always remember, Jim Sapala wants to see you in a Kia. Visit Kia of Westchester or KiaCoatesville.com.
Qualified buyers, 24-month lease, $26.59 down, plus tax and tag, no security deposit, 10,000 miles per year, negative equity refinance. Dealer retains all factory rebates. Offers don't apply. Stock number K014112. Expires month's end.
The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Steven Singer Jewelers. Get your exclusive 24-karat gold-dipped roses. One place, one price. IHateStevenSinger.com.
All right, Jenna Cammer, Adam Kaplan, Xfinity Studio only from Comcast, and some snow has begun falling in the area. Maybe it is where you are, maybe it's not, but it's around, and it's obviously going to be coming down, well, for a long time now, for the next day and a half or so. Certainly hope everyone stays safe, and man, you got to just, Adam, your heart's got to go out to people that are homeless on a night like this.
It's a tough deal.
Oh, my God.
It's a tough deal. My wife bought a snowblower back in September, and I was like, what are you doing this for? Well, here's why. So many times we get the lawn people to come over and shovel. Mm-hmm. It must have missed like every snowfall. They just missed, somehow mysteriously never showed up. I was like, all right, go ahead and buy it. You know, go ahead and buy it. So we'll have some fun tomorrow with our dogs and, you know, there goes the day. But yep. Anyway, we're going to get hit. We might get 2 feet, man.
Oh, no doubt.
I hope they're wrong.
And but. I mean, we remember some memorable ones. 93 was memorable. 95, 96. I think there was a big one in like 09 or 8 or 10. There was a big one. But, you know, 96 was during the playoff game. If you remember, 96 was, I mean, it kind of just stopped, I think, before the Eagles-Cowboys playoff game from the 95 season. And that was Randall's last game ever with the Eagles. That was the game when the Eagles went down to Texas Stadium. They lost, I don't know, maybe 30-11. They lost, and Deion had the reverse for a touchdown, and Rodney Peete got knocked out with a concussion. Randall hadn't been prepared because Randall had been out with his wife, like in wherever they were in Vegas or whatever, and he didn't have the playbook. Remember that whole thing? And that snowstorm, we sat here.
That was bad.
We sat here watching that game surrounded by about 20, 25 inches. But I'll tell you something, Adam, and I know I've referenced this before, but again, it's going to really be a bummer if we don't have electricity on Sunday. I know you with your backup generator, right?
When we bought our house,
yeah, I want to watch. I want to watch these games on Sunday, man.
I hear you. No, it's
What do you see with these games?
Well, I picked the Patriots.
Road? You think they like the road team in both games? A lot of people like the road.
I like the Panthers.
Carolina, interesting.
I still think Seattle's a better football team, but they didn't win. They were getting blown out. They made it an interesting game, but the Panthers, Joe, are very well coached. And the thing that surprised me is they could really score, but they're without two of their top three corners, which gives the Cardinals a real chance. The Cardinals now could run the football with rookie David Johnson. I think it's a 3-point game. I'm going to pick the Panthers because they're incredible at home. The Patriots have one of those portable game plans. They don't care where they play. They just win. And to me, I think they're better in Denver. Peyton Manning didn't play particularly well last week.
No, he did not.
And this could be the end of line for him at 39 years old.
And so many of those Patriot losses happened while their guys were out. And now that Edelman and Gronkowski are back, I think it gives them the advantage. Now, look, you can say the Broncos also were losing games while Peyton was out, even though he hadn't been great before that. The reality was they did have a better record, you know, with Peyton, you know, as the quarterback. Another guy that's got to play better this weekend, and he's had a great year, but he did not play very well last week, was Carson Palmer.
Bad throw. After that brilliant throw to Michael Floyd in the corner of the right end zone.
Man.
He stunk.
He was awful.
Yeah, he was off. They were very lucky to have won.
All right, let's go back to the phone. 610-632-0975. At 7 o'clock tonight, we've got Sixers in 60 on the station, and phone calls till then. JJ in the Lehigh Valley. JJ, you got some snow up there yet? What's going on, man?
No snow yet. A little flurries. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Doing all right. What's up?
My question is for you, Adam. With this personnel guy, does this even matter for this year's draft? Don't we pretty much have to go with Howie Roseman's guys? Will the new personnel guy have preparation for this year?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I wondered about that. Will this guy have been, is he a guy that has not worked in the National Football League before? Was he a guy that's going to come from another team? Because when the Niners let Tom Gamble out in 13, teams rarely do that. Rarely do that. They just you just don't. But the Niners were, Tom's father, Harry, was dying. Tom wanted to get home. it was cool that they let him do that. But the teams rarely let guys out. Of course, Tom's back with the 49ers now. But it's a great question. The hope is this guy's been working the draft.
Right.
We don't know yet because we don't know who the guy's going to be.
Right. So we'll almost have to go with Howie.
I know this. Howie's talking to someone very close to Howie. I asked the question, what's he been doing last year? He watches a ton of tape all the time. And the thing about Roseman, we've all had our criticisms. He's not a bad evaluator. It's the relationship part of the business. He's been obviously bad. I mean, he didn't deny anything. He's got to do a better job with that, but he's not a bad evaluator at all. But they need more people involved. Tom Donahoe at this point is a caretaker for the situation. They need more personnel people in there who are plugged in, Joe. And if they don't do that quickly, it's going to be a problem.
We go to Matt in Pottstown. Matt, you're up on the Fanatic.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Matt?
Hey, I want to talk about the GM position or the position of player personnel. But first with Jeffrey Lurie. And I don't want to get into a Jeffrey Lurie, bashing phone call. I mean, we all have our opinions. I have some certain opinions about the way that they went through this process and so forth. But there's something that I think is glaringly obvious. And it because of the status that he has financially and where he comes from, his background, there's just a complete different mindset. And there's a complete disconnection from his everyday life to what football is. And even though it is a business, football in itself, it's still a blue-collar, grind-em business. So there's a disconnect that I just don't think that he gets. He views things from a different level than
Matt. Matt, let me just add this. Matt, most NFL owners have no idea what goes on in football operations. I remember asking Arthur Blank, the Falcons owner, this. It's after the Michael Vick situation went down in 06 and how he was not aware of what was really going on with Michael Vick. He said it was the biggest challenge for him as an owner is to separate his success with Home Depot from the lack of success with the Falcons. He couldn't figure it out. He couldn't get his hands around it because he's not a football guy. Hey, Jeffrey is not a football guy. So this is a problem. No, exactly. No question.
I don't know if he recognizes that yet or not, but most...
I don't know. It's a great question, Matt. I wish someone would have asked him that at the press conference.
Yes. A person in place, and that's what I think they need to do. And I'd like to use the term COO because Jeffrey's very business-minded, and you go and get a guy like Ozzie Newsome or Eric...
They're not coming in here, brother. They ain't coming in here.
Oh, man.
No.
I mean, those guys have been doing it for years.
DaCosta will replace Ozzie when he's done. That's why DaCosta's not taking another job.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Oh, yeah. He hasn't left there. Hey, Matt, stay safe with the snow, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for the phone call. 610-632-0975. Sixers and 60 coming up in a few minutes. Adam, closing thoughts, Eagles, where are the whole things at?
They're going to hire the personnel person, I think, within 2 weeks.
Will he be a... will he be a 4 out of 10?
I can't answer if it's a 7, an 8, a 9.
Can they recruit a 10 out of 10? Can they get a rising star?
It would have to be a young guy, late 20s, early 30s, who is a guy as an up and comer like Ed Manowitz was. Or he is.
Has Manowitz landed anywhere?
No, but it's not. He's still being paid, so it's Ed's a very sharp guy. It's a shame it didn't work out because it just should have worked out. Let's put it this way. He's that talented. But they need to find the next Ed Manowitz, clearly, who's willing to work here with Roseman and this setup. It won't be easy, but even if they get a veteran guy, this veteran guy, if he's not working the National Football League right now, he's going to have to get up to speed. If he is, and the team is going to let him out, that guy better be working on the draft.
All right, before you get out of here, Bradford, and obviously we'll be talking a lot about this in the coming weeks and months. I really believe franchising him has to be a very legitimate route to consider.
You've been saying that. Yeah.
Because I don't know what he is. I kind of know a little bit about what he is, but I want to see more. I don't want to commit $100 million. I don't want to kill my salary cap for 3 and 4 years. All that stuff. Your thoughts on this Bradford situation and where you think it could head and how legit you think the franchise tag route could be.
Because we don't know who will be running personnel and we don't know how much that person who will be heavily involved, we don't know how much expertise he has on the draft and free agency. It's hard to answer that question, but I was on with Mays and Ellis. I'll just repeat what I said. If the Eagles aren't totally sure about the top three quarterbacks, they've got, because they have to make a decision way before that on the franchise tag.
You're saying top three quarterbacks in the draft?
Yes.
Yeah.
Use a franchise tag. I mean, you keep him for 1 year. Bradford played really well the last 6 games. And that was with a bad offensive line. That was with an inconsistent running game. And he was playing with a bad shoulder. It's going to, I don't want to say impossible, it's going to be extremely difficult to go past 1 year because his agent, Tom Condon, is a smart guy. We'll get in next time we're on about the contracts and where I think that number will go. And what $25 million is what my colleague Jim Trotter said.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
But he's not going to get that. But Condon always goes with one number and he never moves off of it. So that's a problem. To me, I'd keep Bradford. I'm really pleased with the. I was one of the biggest detractors midseason, and then once they could just protect him a little bit, you start to see some great throws. And my goodness gracious, I stopped counting the amount of drops that they had. But if listen, there's no one in free agency. Chase Daniel's not the answer, Joe. I talked to the Chiefs about him. They like him, but I'd rather have Bradford. That's where I am with it.
All right, one more thing, because there's some confusion on some of these things sometimes, myself included. Some franchise tag rules. Just lay out a couple of the basic premise. Top five, you know, average salary at the position. Can you use it two consecutive years on the same player? So they could franchise him twice in a row. It's not something.
20% increase, though, Joe. The second year, I was just talking to someone about this. The problem is the second year franchise number will be a 20% increase. So yep. That could be potentially $44 million over 2 years. You don't want to tie up that. And, right. and Eagles want to extend between 3 and 5 players this offseason, depending on how much cap space. Yep. I'm trying to get a hold of the exact cap space that they have.
Can you use the franchise tag on two different players in consecutive seasons?
Two different, yeah, of course.
So if they franchise Bradford this year and then either get rid of him after next year or sign him outright.
You get one per year.
So they
doesn't
can,
matter who
they
do
can
it
then yes. franchise Fletcher
yes.
Cox.
Yes.
They don't lose that right.
Yes.
Okay, that's important
because
they got to keep that in their back pocket.
Yes.
That's really important.
Only one per year transition or franchise tag. You only get one tag. One tag, use it wisely.
One of the two.
Yes, and it's an insurance policy. It's really the last thing you want to do.
Right.
But you have one, and you use it strictly as an insurance policy because if you like the guy that much, you make sure he doesn't leave. And again, the quarterback position is at the utmost importance for this football team going forward. Number one position.
With you talking about Condon as tough guy.
Extremely difficult.
Okay, it sounds to me like you're thinking that the franchise tag could be a real viable.
It's the only one, or he walks. That's the way I see it. I'll
really?
Be stunned if they get an extension done or a long term deal.
Because
stunned.
Of Bradford and Condon.
Because Condon's tough. Tom. Listen, I got a ton of respect for the guy. It's a hard number, man. I've been on record saying $17 million is what the number should be per year. He's not going to do that because he's got the franchise number over 2 years, $44 million potentially. Not going to do that.
Good stuff, man. Drive home safe.
Thank you. We'll see you next week, hopefully.
You got it. Absolutely. Sixers and 60 comes up next. Devon Givens, Brian Seltzer, join me in studio. We'll talk some Sixers hoops next. Keep it here. Jody Cam, we're rocking on with you here. Sixers hoops next on The Fanatic.